Hey guys, it's Wes from Brothering Around, and this episode of Brothering Around is brought to you by Audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround to get your free trial, free 30-day trial of Audible. If you got a device that can listen to Brothering Around, you have a device that can enjoy all 180,000 audiobooks that Audible has to offer for you. And guess what? Whenever you use audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, you get a free audiobook on the house from your boys at Brothering Around. No payment required. You get to keep it forever. Don't say we never did nothing for you. That's audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Oh, Marco. Things are going crazy. It's time. It's time for the big fight. It's that big fight feel in the air. We got that big fight feel. We just got off of WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, we did.
We're still feeling the amped up. It's time for a battle, my friend. We've had a week to really dig in and do some research and play some games, two in particular,
yeah, man.
And left it up to the fans, and it's up to us, and it's up to the almighty coin flip. But this is episode number 22 of Brothering Around, and we're doing the JRPG Battle Royale Grand Finals tonight. It's happening right now. You're in the right spot. Last episode was crazy. If you didn't hear how we got here to the grand finals, go listen to it. It is ridiculous. It's heartbreak and elation.
It is, dude. It is.
Oh my goodness. But before we get
our favorite games, our favorite games got eliminated.
They did. Almost immediately, too.
First and second round.
Like first and second. It was just but we'll go over those brackets again here in a second. But first, let's just talk about just as general what we've been doing about our weeks.
Yeah, catching up.
Yeah, catching up a little bit. So how was your week, sir?
My week has been good. A little more tiring than usual. But I guess I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Yes. Yeah. Anyways, that's super general. let's see. I watched Power Rangers. The movie.
Oh.
The new one.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are like very hesitant to watching it. I'm just curious to see if it's as all right and not bad as I've been hearing like critics and otherwise in it. And it actually is pretty good.
Nice.
The usual trope of if you're a fan of the Power Rangers, if you're a fan of so and so.
If you like the Power Rangers.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. I think whatever like 90s tropes and like the goofiness of like Power Rangers, the TV show, I guess it gets a little bit more up to date. This is more of a coming of age type of movie. Because each of these characters of the Power Rangers, you know, they're teenagers, so they're dealing with their own issues. That's what they have. And then it's a little bit like maybe they're screwed up, but like we got to move on and live life, yada yada yada. But
yeah,
but like you get a good chunk of portion of like them being, you know, being the Rangers and them seeing what you want to see, like Zord battles and all that stuff. So there's a good amount of action, but it's actually not too bad. If your eye is on the radar of the Power Rangers, then you'll know that I think they're making like six movies.
Oh, jeez.
So with the Transformers, planning for not his departure, whatever the next Transformers gonna head up Transformers, like there's a lot more coming.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, anyways, Power Rangers is not too bad. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And, you know, stay for the credits because that's the thing to do now.
Oh, boy.
Yep. So, there's cameos. And, at that, if you like Power Rangers, if you miss your Sentai Voltron thing, then you definitely would check it out. Something I haven't mentioned for the previous weeks, I started playing Might and Magic again. Might and Magic 2.
Yeah.
Into Another World. So we're all adventuring. Me, you, Britt.
Absolutely.
My wife.
Yes.
My friends. We're all adventuring. You're a robber. You're picking doors and chests.
Perfect.
And backstabbing people. Yeah. I'm the ninja. Yeah, it's good times. It's good adventures. I'm trying to level everybody up so I can leave my first town.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
You've never in the Power Hour. I said you can't leave your first town until you get to level 20. So that's I'm still in that process.
So crazy, man. It's such a grind, but it's fun. Like that Power Hour was a good one. I really like that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. So like, yeah, I actually backtrack to watch that just to get a little bit of reference and like, am I doing what I'm doing? And
yeah,
if I did something back then, oh, did I forgot to do it now? So yeah, using that Power Hour as a reference. But yeah, I've been playing Might and Magic. What else? I had other stuff. Usual Muay Thai, usual boxing, WrestleMania. I'm in process of watching WrestleMania, but okay. I already know what happened.
Gotcha.
Throughout, you know, from WrestleMania to Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Let me see. I think, even back more, I saw Logan. Sad movie. Sad that Hugh Jackman is his last Wolverine role, unless he gets into the Avengers. But that's a whole nother issue
between Fox and Marvel.
Yeah, and yeah, that's pretty much it with my catching up on the weeks on my end.
Yeah,
how about you? How's things been going?
Pretty much the same, but I'm kind of wrestled out. The Ring of Honor pay per view,
Supercard
Honor. Supercard of Honor. Saw that. Watched NXT special on Saturday. Watched all of the WrestleMania coverage on Sunday, watched all of Monday Night Raw on Monday, and watched all of SmackDown yesterday. So over the course of the past week, I have watched, 13 hours of pro wrestling.
Wow. There's actually a limit. There's actually too much.
I will say the best match of the whole weekend. Probably came from Supercard of Honor, and it was the main event.
Was that the Young Bucks?
Yeah, Young Bucks versus Hardys. Ladder match, that was great.
I heard they
great match.
WrestleMania
was surprisingly good. I wasn't too invested going into it. I was like, yeah, there's going to be some stuff. I think, so how far are you on the WrestleMania stuff?
I mean, like, so I know what exactly happened. Where am I at right now? I finished pre-show.
Okay.
I'm on. Who was the first match?
New
Day introduction.
Yeah.
And then what was after that? What was the first match?
New Day came out and said, "Hey, we're hosting WrestleMania." I want to say it was the. Was it Kevin Owens?
Was it okay? I may have not even gotten the first match, or was it like? Is this supposed to be like Shane and AJ?
Yes, that was the first match. Good call.
Okay, so I'm not even started on the first match. So it's basically at the end of New Day's introduction.
Gotcha. Okay, so overall, Shane versus AJ is way better than it had any right of being.
But I heard it was like surprisingly good.
Yes. It really is. Like, you could tell that AJ worked with Shane a lot before this match. Shane McMahon was busting out chain wrestling. He did some chain wrestling moves, like New Japan style. And then the whole crowd did a standing ovation during it because they're like, holy shit, he came to actually wrestle. Like, this isn't just going to be. And then it, of course, devolved into kind of the spot fest that Shane's known for. But hey, it worked well. And someone joked that, next year it's going to be, Shane McMahon versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And I was like, if he comes and he does a match like he did if he does versus AJ, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be fine.
Yeah. They do, basically they do strong style, and like Shane does a little bit more of like the MMA training that he's been doing.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be all in.
Yeah, I can see it. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
And I can tell you by far and away, for me, the worst match of the night for WrestleMania, without question, was Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. Because they were building Bray Wyatt like a machine. His entrance was perfect. I was like, oh, this guy's a made man. Like, he's already main eventer. Mm-hmm. He's already a champ. But, like, he comes out and that, I don't want to ruin what happens. And I know you probably already read it and saw pictures and stuff, but, like,
the power of projection.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. They were building it. And during that whole thing, I was like, oh my God, they're going to reveal Sister Abigail. I was like, this is what this is. Like, it's showing worms, and then the worms turn into like bugs, and then the bugs evolve into like these centipede things. And I was like, oh, it means someone's rising from the dead. Like, that's what this whole thing is like building up towards. And like, Sister Abigail is going to come out and completely wreck Randy Orton. And then that's going to be the reveal. And there's your new faction member and all this. Nope. They did all RKO, this.
RKO greater than Bray Wyatt's all powers.
And the thing is, imagine if you had all this build up, and then the ending was two guys looking at each other, and he does an RKO, pins him, and that's the end of it. And you're like,
yeah,
that sucked. Like, it was just this wet fart of,
yeah,
there was no pacing. Like, up until that point, they were building. I was like, dude, something's about to happen. Like, he goes to every corner of the ring, and he had done three at that point. So he did like the top right corner, as far as like looking straight down, like the top right corner, then the top left corner, then the bottom left corner. And I was like, oh, when he goes to that bottom right corner and does his little pose, some shit's going to hit the fan. Yeah. Nope. He gets RKO'd and they pin him. That's it. Like, there was no buildup. Randy Orton didn't get a single shot off for like 3 minutes leading up to his RKO.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's it?
I have this assumption like what they did there is like their midpoint. Because now there's a House of Horrors or whatever.
Yeah, match that they're some carny ass shit.
I think they're trying to look for the right person, right woman or whatever.
Yeah.
To be that Sister Abigail. Sister I don't think Abigail, they have. They found,
you know who could. It should be Asuka. I would.
Hey, you know what?
I'd be all for it, dude.
Throw that swerve, yeah, man.
Throw a swerve, have her come out and kick the shit out of people. And it's sure, Sister Abigail's Asian. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Yeah, right.
Big plot twist.
There you go.
Dude. Yeah, but overall, WrestleMania was entertaining. Last match was bittersweet because you knew what was going to happen. You were just waiting for it to happen. Mm-hmm. And then I will say, good on Roman Reigns for that opening of Monday Night Raw. Like,
I love that. I loved it. I ate it up too.
Good on him, man. Cuss him out 10 minutes. 10 minutes of booing his ass, just shitting all over Roman Reigns. And he just stands there and takes it. And he's like, hey, it's my yard now. And then leaves.
Yeah. And, and that's the thing. Like, I know, like, on like the fan side, it's like, oh, no, we don't like Roman Reigns because.
Yeah.
You know, he's forcefully being pushed, and like company side is like, oh no, any kind of reaction is a great reaction, right?
Right.
And I hear both of those sides, and I see with that segment, the beginning segment of Raw, and I'm like, he doesn't have to say anything. Like, the entire crowd is like really into it, despite if it's like, you know, cheering or booing, they're really into it.
It's true.
It'd be really bad if like. They didn't say anything. When
he came crickets.
Out.
Just he walks out crickets. And people are picking Nothing their happened. Nose. They don't give a shit.
But you heard that crowd. Of course, it's the Raw after crowd. So like everybody's gonna be rambunctious anyway.
Yeah.
And dude, they ate it up. They're just like, you know, fuck Roman. Roman, you don't deserve it.
Good on USA for not censoring all that either.
Right. Right.
I was like, can they get away with doing that?
And you know how they, every commercial break, they would take like those picture shots of like WrestleMania.
Yeah.
dude, that one shot of Roman just looking very heelish, but like, I think that was like the, I think after the match, when Roman was looking back at the ramp.
Oh yeah.
Or looking back at the ring, like that was a great looking shot.
With the fireworks in the background and stuff. Yeah, that guy's money.
Yeah.
You look at him, you're like, yeah, he's the guy. Sorry to tell you. The only other person that had a perfect picture like that was on Monday Night Raw whenever Finn comes out.
Oh yeah, that was a great shot.
Finn has that black and white, and he does his pose with the Balor Club jacket. And, oh
yeah, that was a great ass shot.
Make a poster of that shit, because that's gonna that's your guy.
There's a Twitter account that I follow. I forgot the name already, but they're kind of like Senior Lariato, but like this Twitter account hasn't gotten in trouble for making gifs out of WWE shows.
Gotcha.
And he has a gif of that Balor shot. Oh. So like I retweeted and I think I liked it and saved it somewhere. But like I have it on my timeline and I love that gif, dude. That was an awesome shot.
That was a perfect timing. He had the right
look,
all of it just fit together.
Camera guy was on point. Yep. Dude, it was awesome.
That guy has made of money. And then of course Shinsuke's reveal on SmackDown. See, and the way they did that was genius because you know, Miz comes out dressed like John Cena and you think, oh, they're cutting another promo, and then the violin player walks out.
Yeah.
That's all that you hear. You don't hear Shinsuke's music. Just violin player, and then people lose their mind. And you can tell the people that watch NXT because those are the people going crazy. And then everyone else is like, why are they cheering this violin player?
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. That's pretty cool.
And then
I also like how Ty Dillinger was like a warm, like an opener.
Yes.
Because how Curt Hawkins like say, I'm gonna give a count of 10 and boom, right away. Music hit 10, 10, 10. Everybody's flipping out.
It feels weird to me though that they're doing this the week before the draft.
Yeah. But they're calling it a shakeup though. They're not even saying draft.
Yeah.
It just sounds like people are just getting traded, not so much of
not a full on roster sweep.
Raw picks.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. I didn't think about that. But that's a good point. So probably the people they introduced on SmackDown are staying on SmackDown, but they're gonna do some changes over, like, oh, what if Carmella has to go to SmackDown and then Raw. Ellsworth goes to the other one.
Stays or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that NXT type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess anything can really happen.
And my only other real thing is Jinder Mahal needs to lay the fuck off the steroids, because good God. Jesus.
What are you talking about?
He's
really hard.
Oh, his diet must be on point. Yeah. His diet of fucking steroids and milk, like he just eats them. Like there's no way. You go look at that guy and he has veins coming out of his ears and you're like, no one has veins on an elbow. Like, no, your elbow is a bone, it doesn't have blood vessels. Just insane. I'm like, no, that guy's, and it was funny, I was telling my fiance, because you know I bodybuild, I do all that stuff, and I was like, you see that guy? That's a roid monkey is what we call that guy. That guy is unbelievable. He is Mr. Roidy Magoo.
Right. And everybody else. I don't notice it on anybody else too.
No one else is. I mean, I bet they're on something. I mean, come on now. You're taking these bumps and you got to recover. That's what steroids are really for, is recovery. It's not to make your muscles bigger. It's so you can take that type of damage over and over and over.
Yeah.
One of the catalysts is, since you have perfect endurance, you get massive muscles because you can put them through higher stress. The best way to tell, there's two great ways to tell if someone's on roids. One, there's skin elasticity. So you could tell if somebody's just eating really well and like they're on point, they're going to look good. But they're gonna have a little bit of that, fat, just a little bit, not much, But if it's like leather, barely, like a crepe sheet put over a vein, that's roids, no question.
If you look like a, If you look like a Titan.
Yeah.
Like Attack on Titan.
Yes. Yes, exactly. If you can see the actual blood vessels producing like white blood, like, yeah.
Dude.
If you can see somebody's heart beating, they're probably on roids.
Well, one, that's their weak point. Two, then yeah, they're probably on
roids. Yeah. It's a, it glows. Yeah, just it radiates out. Oh man. But yeah, he needs to lay off that shit. He's gonna have a heart attack. I will say
he didn't do too bad on the Royale.
He did pretty good. I will say
Maybe
one of my favorite matches of WrestleMania, and this might be sacrilege, me being a smart mark and everything. Mm-hmm. I fucking love the Goldberg match, man.
Yeah.
Those two did what they're known to do. So you had jackhammers and spears out the wazoo. Mm-hmm. He speared Brock through a wall. Freaking Brock Lesnar did 10 German suplexes. I mean, that what else could it have been? Right? Like that's
like basically 5 minutes.
Yeah. That was the best match those two possibly ever could have had. Like, way better than the WrestleMania 20.
You know, good on them. You know, play to the strength.
Yes. Right? Bingo. I mean, I was so jacked up about it because that first spear, I was like, oh, this is just two freight trains running together. Like, they don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. They're out there going 100%. Yeah. Like, we were on the edge of our seat. All 5 minutes, we were like,
ramming each other.
Yeah. Like, okay, when you're a little kid and you're playing with action figures and you just smash them against one another, like,
yeah,
that's what that was in real life. And I mean, these guys, they didn't do fake punches. None of it was a work. Like,
no chain wrestling.
No, Goldberg really football tackled Brock Lesnar. They really went through the barricade. He's bleeding everywhere. Like, they're punching the shit out of each other. I was like, great. Let the two hosses like hoss it out, man. Like, great.
Good.
Yeah, so overall, WrestleMania was good. I mean, it was solid. Yeah. I was just so upset with the Bray Wyatt thing. Like, and I wasn't even mad at Roman Reigns for... Point. Yeah, I'm not mad at Reigns for retiring Taker because it's about time. And hey, it's Taker's decision, you know, if he wants to give the rub to Roman Reigns.
Taker's decision. I'm not going to... Who am I to say, like, oh, you picked the bad choice for
right.
Taker? Like... The fuck?
Oh, Mr. Mark Calloway, I beg to differ.
Yeah, like, come on.
Yeah, who are we?
I read like on a post, like they either talk about Roman Reigns with Undertaker. It's like, oh, Undertaker should have chose somebody else. Like, who else is there other than John Cena that could have possibly been?
Right.
But like, who else could have been? Like, he basically wrestled everybody, right?
Yeah.
And then I was going to say, and they were saying, like, yeah, Undertaker should have retired on a win. I was like, you guys are dumb. You guys don't know anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no.
Your last match, your last match is on your back. That's every time. You just lose.
Yes.
You lose. That's tradition.
If Ric Flair goes out on his back, everyone goes out on their back. Like,
yeah.
Ric Flair got kicked in the face. That was his last moment. He said, do it. I will say it was awesome, and it picked it up. I don't think it picked it up on the microphones during the match, but whenever you see it near the end of it, you know, Taker's on his knees and Roman's like standing above him all triumphant and stuff and like punching down on him. And then it shows Taker's face and he has that look in his eye.
Yeah,
and he said, I'm pretty sure he says, you don't have the balls to finish me. And because of like lip reading, but I think the crowd saw it too, because as soon as he said it, everyone was like, oh shit, like everyone did that, like, oh yeah. You gonna let him talk to you like that? Like, it was a great ending.
I had a WrestleMania moment. The Intercontinental match, somebody put up a Mark of the Wolf sign up.
Yes,
I saw it. It was like, are you okay? Blasa Wolf. I'm like, yes. Yes. Who knows about Terry Bogard up in this bitch? Oh, I do.
So and they come out. I love the New Day coming out for Final Fantasy stuff.
Final Fantasy, yeah.
Genius. And Final Fantasy 14. Anytime, I consider it one of the best WrestleManias because Michael Cole had to say the word Chocobo and Moogle. on a fucking WrestleMania pay-per-view.
Yeah, he did. He's like, come on. Come on, Corey. I love Final Fantasy, you know. I was like, yeah, okay, Michael Cole, sure you do.
Yeah, you've never heard the words okay, Final I'll Fantasy play. In the same sentence.
I'll play yeah. along. That's fine.
And then he's like, I love the Chocobos.
Sure you do, Michael Cole.
Yeah.
I'll bless your heart.
Yeah, right. There, champ. Yeah, we'll get you a nice Cactar, and we'll be done. Yeah. Because we know it's your favorite, since you know so much about Final Fantasy. Oh, man. Oh, but WrestleMania, good times. Pro wrestling's awesome. There's actually a really good article I read from, I think it's SB Nation. It's like the Sports Broadcast Nation or whatever it is. So it's of this journalist, and she has never watched wrestling in her entire life. But she watched WrestleMania 33. And she loved it.
Okay.
She thought it was amazing. And she said it was hilarious. Yeah.
Awesome.
And that Goldberg looked like a retired soccer coach. And like she said, yeah, she said stuff that made me burst out laughing. And she said the one thing she freaked out about the most was the Triple H Seth Rollins match when they pull out a sledgehammer. Okay. It said she almost started crying because she was like, they can't hit him with a sledgehammer. Stop. Like all that shit worked, man. Like
we're
old timers. Like we know that sledgehammer. Yeah. Like he's been doing it for 20 years. But like people that have never seen it before, dude, that's effective stuff.
Yeah,
it works.
They think like you're actually going to strike him in the face or something with a sledgehammer. Like, dude, that's manslaughter.
That's you witness a murder live in a fucking wrestling ring.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh. But WrestleMania time.
Mm-hmm.
Big fight feel.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a timestamp of this.
Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Speaking of Final Fantasy. Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about this.
Michael Cole, you're listening.
Michael Cole, we got something for you, my friend. let's see. So I'm going to timestamp this, but now is where we begin the craziness. So let me bring this up real quick. Before we get too
I gotta
far.
Bring stuff up too.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta look at all this. Okay. So last week we did a 32 game battle royale, Japanese role playing games, all from 16-bit era up to 32-bit era. So that included Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, Sega Saturn, Sony PlayStation.
Yeah, TurboGrafx 16, yes. Sega CD. You go down the list of like
Big O.
Yeah. 16-bit to 32.
Basically, if it's
was there.
If it's from the console wars of Genesis versus Super Nintendo up to the first three-dimensional video games, like that's where our cutoff was. And 32 games entered, only two survive, and the survivors are Final Fantasy VII and Persona. So we selected this by a coin flip. So all of these were decided by coin flip. It is purely fate that these two ended up here. Two very solid games. And I mean, arguably, I don't think Persona would be here with the type of stiff competition it had. But you could make the argument that Final Fantasy VII may have made its way here regardless, if it was up to us or if it was just by chance it was coin flip. So it's one of those things. But what I would like to do is just go down the list of games that were in the running. So I'm going to name off all 32 games one more time, just so we can pour one out for our homies. And then we're going to talk about the conquer list. So what games did Final Fantasy VII beat to get to the finals and what games did Persona beat? And then that's where we're really going to openly weep. You'll see two grown men weeping tragically on their computer keyboards. Okay, so the full listing, all 32 games in order. Vagrant Story, Final Fantasy I, meaning the remakes and Chronicles. Breath of Fire 3, Phantasy Star 4, Final Fantasy 9, Secret of Mana, Suikoden 2, Xenogears, Dragon Quest 5, Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, Tobal, Final Fantasy IV, Wild Arms, Grandia, Final Fantasy VII, Lufia, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI, Star Ocean 2, Legend of Dragoon, Dragon Force, Shining Force 2, Dark Cloud 2, Earthbound, Jade Cocoon, Panzer Dragoon Saga, Lunar, Revengers of Vengeance, Legend of Legaia, Suikoden, Saga Frontier, and Persona.
Cool. Yeah.
That's a list, my friend.
Those were a list of games that people have named for us.
You know, yes, that's right.
Do this bracket.
Chosen then, by the fans. Correct.
Yep. Yeah. So.
Oh, so now it comes down to two. And man, there were some brutal cuts. Brutal cuts. Okay.
I listened back on the last episode, and it was a beefy episode. 2 hours and 25.
Yes, it was.
2 hours and 25 minutes or so.
That's right.
So, yeah, like, so, yeah, these battles are slow hurting after listening it again. And, yeah, man.
I mean, fresh wounds.
Yeah, if it was up to us, probably either the final maybe look different or, you know, some of the results. But for these games to get to where they're at, it was be like on coin flip was like, it had a mystique of like, oh, man, what's going to happen?
Yes.
'Cause you won't know.
Yeah, I highly recommend you go check out last episode number 21, simply because of the chaos. It is truly, if you want to hear our live reactions to these coin flips, it's hilarious. We give our input on every single game. So if you wanted to know what our thoughts on things like Xenogears is, go back, listen to last episode. Hopefully you'll get exactly what you're looking for. So let's talk about the games that Persona beat to get to the grand finals.
Do that.
So Persona bested Saga Frontier, Suikoden 1, Panzer Dragoon Saga, and to seal it, it killed off Chrono Trigger. Like, Persona is coming for blood.
Yeah. And out of those matches, let's see.
Let me bring up, I have the, and everyone, please watch the YouTube archive of this.
If went you down to the last round, and then all the other matches have been like
clean sweeps,
easily taken. Yeah, clean sweeps.
So yes, what I will say is, please check out the YouTube archive. You can see live video feed. I'm pulling up the brackets right now. But of course, we're going to narrate everything as we do it, just like at last episode. So if you're listening on iTunes, we appreciate it, or directly from the website download, we appreciate that as well. But for the full experience, definitely check out our YouTube archive. Persona taken out 2-1 Saga Frontier, 2-0 Suikoden, 2-0 Panzer Dragoon, 2-0 Chrono Trigger. Just murder.
Man,
murder.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII bested Lufia, Wild Arms, Final Fantasy IV, and Final Fantasy I. Yeah. So I would argue it kind of had an easier bracket.
I think so too.
Than Persona did to get here to the grand finals.
If you're rooting for like the other game, it was more on like a almost retired person on their last run type thing.
Yeah, you're rooting for them.
Yeah, go Lufia, or go Wild Arms. Sure.
Yeah, let's do it. Show them who you are, Wild Arms.
Yeah, you guys still got it.
Get in there and be somebody, Lufia. But like, just destroyed. And like, I will say, with we talked about it last time, but Lufia gets demolished regardless, whether it's coin flip or us picking. Wild Arms was more of like a tug on the nostalgia heartstrings. You know, those two games came out relatively similar time frame, and you know, good times. Final Fantasy IV is, I think, the one that we most hotly debated, because both are so solid. Of course, coin flip said Final Fantasy VII takes that one in a clean sweep. And then against Final Fantasy I, we both agreed, Final Fantasy I is kind of the granddaddy. That and Dragon Quest, of course, are the staples of the genre. So we wouldn't be here without it, but VII's just a better game if you want to go play them today. And then, coin flip agreed with us. So that brings us to our grand finals, Final Fantasy VII versus Persona. So the way this works is we will be doing, just like last time, we'll be doing a coin flip. However, the stakes are a little different. So we ask what you all thought should win. And the winner of that poll gets a point. Then Marco and I are about to discuss the games. And then that gets one of the games 1 point. Now, the thing is, this is best 2 out of 3. Or it's best 3 out of 5, I should say. So this could be an even split of 1 to 1. And then the next game has to win, you know, 2 head flips, basically, or 2 tail flips or something similar in order to win. So best 3 out of 5. Or one game could have a huge advantage going into the coin flip. They could have 2 points and just need one more coin flip in their favor to win it all.
Gets the win. Yeah.
It gets the win. So what we're going to do real quick is on the YouTube archive, I'm pulling it up right now, but Marco ran a poll. Who wins the JRPG March Madness bracket? We fully delve into it on Wednesday. Final Fantasy VII, Persona, and then a link to the bracket. So 8 votes. 75.
That's counted was 7.
Oh yeah, it was, came out to 8. So 8 votes.
Nice. Okay.
75% vote for Final Fantasy VII.
Wow.
Wow. Big money hustle right there. That's quite the lead. So it doesn't show who voted for what or, you know, things like that, but 75% with Final Fantasy VII, so that gives that a 1 point advantage already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we got going on here. So yeah, let's actually talk about this for a second.
Sure,
so
let's talk about it.
So we discussed Final Fantasy VII quite a bit last episode. We touched sort of kind of on Persona, but now I'm glad that we actually get to just delve into these two games individually. Mm-hmm. Because now we can give them more of what our personal thoughts are and stuff. Should we give what we pick right now? Because I think we're both in agreement. And then talk about the games? Or should we talk about them and then wrap it up with saying, okay, here's where we're going?
We can talk about it first.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it first and then let people know what we did decide.
Gotcha. So... A note about Persona is the original PlayStation 1 game, Persona, part of the, I guess it dropped, whenever it came to North America, it dropped the Shin Megami Tensei branding, and it was just called Persona. I'll put it this way. I have played a little bit of it since last recording, because I wanted to be like, okay, let me get this memory fresh in my mind. What is Persona like? I've played Persona 3 and 4 to completion. I'm going to buy Persona 5. The series is very good. It has a lot of incredible qualities about it. Persona 4 might be, I mean, it depends on the day you ask me, but that could definitely be the best game on PlayStation 2. I mean, I put it up there with like Metal Gear Solid 3, and I don't put games up close to MGS3 lightly. I think MGS3 is kind of the holy grail. So whenever it's like, okay, you know, Persona 4 is up there with, you know, Final Fantasy 12 and Shadow of the Colossus and those games that, like, this is what this system is for. Like, I put Persona 4 up there. I think it's truly one of the best of the best. If I were to recommend a JRPG just overall space and time, Persona 4 could make a pretty good case for being the one.
Interesting.
So it just has a lot of style. It has a lot of substance. And Persona 1 on the PlayStation 1 shows that blueprint. It showcases it's basically a perfect foundation for what made Persona 3 and 4 so great. So it has a varied cast of characters, kind of the high school kids going and fighting demons. The only thing I will say is, well, two things. One, the game is very difficult. Like, very not like engaging in regards to, hey, we're going to give you a nice tutorial and that's going to teach you how to use the battle system. And now we're going to battle some chickens. And that does not happen. You start off basically in a jail and then you have a full on jail experience, essentially.
Like, good luck.
Yeah. Best of luck. Godspeed. You're going to need it. And, you know, it works basically. Personas are kind of your summon. They're your inner self. They have a lot of, like, mm-hmm. symbolism. Persona is a very dark series in that regard. I know Persona 3 got a lot of heat because to summon your persona, you hold a gun to your head and pull the trigger. It's intense stuff, man. There's a lot of style to it, but it's all very kind of dark symbology and... It doesn't shy away from that type of stuff or those type of themes like murder and just really like suicide as a way of freedom. And like, you're like, this is kind of heady stuff. And this is Persona has always kind of dealt with that. And Shin Megami Tensei games have always dealt with that type of stuff too. But Persona 1 is so slow. Like everything about it is slow. The battle system's slow. The way the text comes on screen is slow. The writing is slow. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm all about the slow burn. You know, I like kind of really getting my sinking my teeth into it and really like falling in love with the universe and being able to explore and like, oh yeah, let me get in there and kind of see what this is all about. Persona, it just felt so dry. Because you almost feel like you're waiting for something to happen. Right. And it does, but it does like 15 hours later. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of a slog. I guess slog is the best way to put it. Now, keep in mind.
You know how PS1 games were slow? How slow was this game?
Okay, so two things. So as far as the content, like giving you things, it's very slow. Then actually the game running as far as animations and, you know, we talk about slowdown and you watch stuff like Final Fantasy Tactics and it takes about a second or so for a spell to go up, you know, like it's not quite a loading time necessarily, but it's just this weird buffer time that early CD based games had that it had to kind of find that data and then display it.
Foot lag or something?
Yeah, a little bit. So it's almost like the engine it runs on, they didn't know how to make it's almost like they didn't know something. Yeah, they didn't know how to make the game the way they wanted to make it, so they had to like duct tape it together.
You okay?
You know what I mean? That's sort of the vibe I get from it. And it just doesn't I will say it's consistent in how slow it is. So it's not like, you start in a battle and then it goes down to 5 frames a second. It's nothing like that. Like, it has the voice acting, the music is always good. And so it's more like just really the pace. Imagine if each sword attack in Breath of Fire 4 had like a 6 second long animation.
Okay.
And you're like, I've seen this before and there's no way to skip it. And kind of want to get on with it. You know, at the time, we weren't used to having games that could be sped up and like the mobile game thing of hitting auto. And so you had to manually do all this stuff and it's just slow. It's a slow burn. It did not age well. I think that's the best way to put it, is there have been quality of life improvements for video games and especially Japanese role-playing games since Persona 1. In fact, they remade Persona 1 on the PSP. That version's way better.
Okay.
Like, if you were to play Persona 1, play it on the PSP. I would skip out on the original PlayStation version. I will say there are very weird things that they changed with the PSP version. One is the music. So the music, they went and embraced that whole Japanese pop rock stuff that the series has kind of been known for now. Like, the sort of music video-y cuts and the cool stylized portraits, and they kind of added all that into the PSP version. But in a really weird way, and this is very bizarre, there's a character named Mark, and
okay,
yeah, oddly enough, and Mark in the original Persona for PlayStation 1 was black. Now, in the PSP version, he has the same graphic, but they colored him white. And I don't know why. Like, it's very weird. And it made me look back at Persona 1. And I was like, is this, is there anything racist happening in Persona 1? Like, is there, you know what I mean? Like, is this, what's going on? Because Mark, the character Mark, was Japanese anyway. He was a Japanese kid. And I was like, okay, now I'm really confused. Because at no point has Mark ever been Japanese. Because in the PlayStation 1 version, he's black. In the PSP version, he's white. I don't get, like, something.
I don't understand that. Yeah, I don't
know. It's bizarre.
Vision.
Yeah, I'm not sure what. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But it's just one of those weird things I noticed. And yeah, they changed the music. I think the original music had this weird, like, Mortal Kombat-y, like, riff heavy, like, like, sort of that riff type stuff. And then the PSP version has a full on, like, rock group. Drums and guitar and a vocalist singing about he sees the sunshine and like all this stuff. So it's a really weird tonal difference. And I don't know, just playing Persona 1 on the PS1. I was like, back in the day, I could have maybe got into it if this was the only game I bought for the summer. Like, growing up, if I only had one RPG and I bought Persona and I only had, you know, that $60 game had to last me for 5 months.
Right.
Persona probably would have been a great deal. Because hell, it takes 2 months to battle. It's just so long. It really is. And you guys could go check out gameplay videos and stuff. Like, I'm not just saying it to say it, but like, everything takes so long in Persona 1. But yeah, so what is your experience with the Persona series? Mark.
Good question. Absolutely none. Persona. I missed the boat on Persona. I was aware of it.
Yeah.
Growing up, but for whatever reason, I just decided not to. I guess it didn't interest me. And I think it went along the lines of what you were saying about like so much of like the darker tones and it's like high school. Kids, like it was too, I guess it was too city urban real, like realism,
gotcha.
I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Like it was too much of the city, like kind of like Earthbound. Like Earthbound is like more on the, like the urban, like you're playing an RPG and like the urban setting in a sense.
Right.
And that doesn't grab me as much as like a fantasy setting or a, like tech, you know, whatever, pick like in the past or in the future.
Gotcha.
What have you. So I pretty much missed the boat on the Persona series as a whole. So like after, you know, 2 and 3 and 4, now 5 is out. I mean, I don't have a drive to wanting to play it. I mean, you know, I do have a PSP emulator. I can maybe check out the PSP version of Persona 1, which I'm dabbling with the idea of, you know, because why not?
Sure.
But yeah, Persona 1, like just haven't touched it. But I know there are rabid fans. I know that there are rabid fans regarding the Persona series, because so I know there's something there. If say like these people that are considered fans have played all the way to the first game on the PlayStation 1 version, that they're willing to stick it out till now, then they must be doing something right.
Right, and I'll put it this way: I think you would really like the Persona games because imagine if. And this is going to sound bizarre, but I'll talk about the similarities here in a second. Imagine if the Yakuza series was purely a turn-based Japanese role-playing game.
Okay.
And it dealt with, instead of like gang members, your quest was to find and capture demon spirits.
Okay.
Like, that's
you
really what
have my attention.
Yeah, right. It's like now it, because it, like you said, it's the urban environment stuff. And at first I was like, I don't know if I could get into this. Mm. But then once I started playing Persona 3, I got it. I was like, I know why there's people freaking obsessed with the series. Mm, because okay. Because you build relationships with characters, and then those characters right. build like social constructs with you, and then your bond grows stronger, yeah. which means in battle now your summons work better and they're stronger and you can do better combos. So like
social links.
Yes. That's exactly, and I think okay. that's exactly what they're called in Persona 3.
Okay. Super Best Friends talk about it all.
Yes, and it's based on like tarot cards. So
yeah,
you can even be really best friends with someone you're not a match for based on how you answer and like if you go out and hang out at a bar or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that in Persona 3 and 4. And that's the stuff okay. I couldn't get enough of. I was like, man, this is great. You know, learning about these characters mm-hmm. and then building the social links. And it, getting stronger in battle because of it. And it was very, you know, it felt very personal. Like, it felt like the work I was doing to getting to know these people was not only rewarded for better characters, but it was rewarding me in the game part of it as well. So it did really well on that. And before we start talking about Final Fantasy VII, I will say that if this decision was based on... If we look at Persona 1 onward, so like Persona in regards to setting the stage for what the future of the series would be versus Final Fantasy 7 onward, so like Final Fantasy 8, 9, you know, 10, 11, 12, all the way up to 15.
Right.
This would be a different conversation because I actually would go with Persona. Because I think Persona 3 and 4 are stellar. I haven't played enough of 2, but I understand 2 is where it got really popular.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's 3 and 4 are genius. Those two games are phenomenal. Now Persona 5, people are saying it's just as good. So from you're talking about a game that started slow and it was kind of clunky and I don't know about this. That hasn't aged very well.
Yeah.
To producing some of the best Japanese role-playing games ever made. With Final Fantasy VII, a lot of people would argue, and I would be one of them, that VII is kind of the zenith. Like, ever since VII, it kind of started going downhill. you know what I mean? Like, I love 9. I love 12. All of the other ones, not so much. I've played literally every Final Fantasy game there is to play, and I've beaten a majority of them. And I didn't care for 8 because I thought the story was whacked out of its mind. 9 was great, but to me, not as good as 7. 10, I hated, and I kind of still don't like it. 11, we played it before. I mean, great MMO. 12, awesome game, but it could almost be called something else from Final Fantasy, and I'd be fine with it because it's so far removed. It's not traditional. It's not a turn-based game. Yeah. It's not like so. It's its own thing. It kind of, in my opinion, set the stage for like Dragon Age. I think that's where that sort of went, is because of the Gambit system and the stuff like that. But then 13. All of those games are trash from a dumpster fire. Like, I cannot stand those fucking games. Because that turned into, I guess, Final Fantasy, arguably 9. But 7, 8 started dabbling in kind of the bullshit, which is why I didn't care for it too much. 9 brought it back to the basics. Hey, we got the crystals. Here's some fun characters. Let's have fun.
Yeah.
7 had enough bullshit, but it was engaging. It was like Shinra and what's the life stream? What is that? And what's Genova and Hojo did experiments and wait, the Sephiroth.
Fucking Hojo.
Yeah. Is Sephiroth the son of Vincent Valentine and Lucretia? Is that who that is? Yeah. Oh my God. Like you get into this like soap opera esque. Like betrayal. Oh my! Well, it really wasn't Sephiroth. It was Genova, and Genova made you hallucinate that it was. So it started getting into some bullshit, but you could still kind of explain it. You can't explain a fucking thing in Final Fantasy VIII. Not a lick of that game makes sense. And then it gets, 9 takes it back to form. 10, something about sin and Spira, and I'm a ghost, but not really, but oh, isn't it sad, and I'm not really here, but I really am here, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then 11 did its own thing, awesome. MMO stories are kind of a different breed. But then 12 would have been way better if Vaughn and Pinello were never, ever, ever not in there, that game.
Right? Yeah.
Never. Keep it Balthier, keep it Bosch, you're good.
Yeah.
Just the two boys, bring Fran along, great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this. Let's save Ash. Let's go and save the world. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Stellar. Final Fantasy 13. I'm about to go on a tear. Final Fantasy 13 is the biggest crock of bullshit I've heard in my entire life. I still don't know what the fuck people are talking about. Because they're like, no, you see, with the Lissay and the Falsi and the Lassu. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, what are you talking about?
If I ever go back to that game, I'm going to try really hard to pay attention and see if I can connect the dots. Because I'm curious. If I ever go back, I don't know if I ever will go back.
I'm all about making bullshit names. Like, I'm a big Tolkien fan. That dude wrote 40,000 pages of making up some bullshit. Like, I'm fine with it. I can get it. I can process my brain around it. But why do you name 12 things exactly the same way?
Yeah.
Now you can't make sense of any of it because Lassie and False and Lassay and Lassie, and I'm like, which one's which? What? Who's the people? And then this is the spirit, and that one's the animal. Like, I don't know. Like, what the fuck are they? So whenever they're speaking, they're like speaking in tongues for all these games.
Yeah.
They're saying gibberish. Like, I've made fun of it all the time, and I still do because it's like I don't know. What is this supposed to be important? Like, because there, all these people look really sad. Am I supposed to be sad right now? I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, I forgot. This is Leonis. Is like, he likes his game.
That's his bread and butter, man. And God bless you, Leonis. Like, dude, I, you know what? Fair play. You got to explain it to me. You got to. But the thing is, here's the thing. I think Kingdom Hearts is going down that same path. Just being completely filled with the most asinine bullshit.
Heartless, or was it Heartless? And then there's another one. Now you have the 13 people. And
yeah, it's like, who cares? I thought this was about Mickey Mouse, like, and Sora doing fucking rad Keyblade shit. Like, that's what I thought it was. That's what I, in my mind, that's what Kingdom Hearts is. It's like, okay, you're going to go hang out with Ariel. And then after you're done hanging out with Ariel, you're going to go and you're going to fight some dudes. And then whenever you fight the dudes, guess what? You meet Willy Wonka. Like, that's, in my mind, that's how Kingdom Hearts should be.
And you take Cloud with you.
Yeah, you Cloud's there. He's like, hey, you came to the portal and I'm here. Welcome.
Yeah.
Like, it should be a tourism ride. Like, Kingdom Hearts should be the greatest hits. Like, let's go meet Winnie the Pooh, and let's go take Winnie the Pooh, and he'll meet Kefka, and then Kefka will laugh, and then we'll go, like, and then we'll all be best friends. Like, that's Kingdom Hearts. You know?
Fanfic now.
I would argue that's all that fucking series is fanfic.
It is fanfic.
Dude, it's slash fic of the worst caliber.
Oh, jeez.
That's some.
If Kefka was in the Winnie the Pooh universe.
So it's like basically Kingdom Hearts is a game series about who would win in a fight, Batman or Superman. Like, that's what that is to me. It's like, oh, well, what if you just people sitting around a room? What if Goofy goes and he talks to Donald Duck, and then Donald Duck says, how about I go save Ivelis? And then Ifrit shows up. Like, it's just some people standing around a room spouting dumb shit. Oh, that fucking game. Anyway, like, we digress. Just telling stories, bro. That's what they're doing. They're just brothering around. It's fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I digress. So that would be my argument. So from the Final Fantasy VII onwards, or Persona 1 onwards, Persona wins it, hands down. Just better games. Better games. People will fight me about that. I don't care. Persona 3 and 4, phenomenal.
I hear that a lot.
And
the side games as well.
Yes, and other Shin Megami games, yeah. So you have, like, Digital Devil Saga, you have Nocturne.
And Dancing All Night.
Yeah, yes, and then you have Persona 4 Max fighting game.
There's a wrestler in that game. I remember
rad stuff.
Yeah.
So cool things. But we're not talking about this game from the future. We're talking about Final Fantasy VII versus Persona 1 on the PS1. There is no doubt in my mind who wins. Like, it is such a slobber knocker, just unbelievable. No question. Final Fantasy VII takes it.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no other way this goes.
Yeah. So from my experience, seeing how I never played any Persona games, and, you know, I played Final Fantasy VII multiple times, you know, 100% do everything type runs.
Yeah.
That game, of course, you would have to be there in that hype during that age where Final Fantasy VII was being really built up to be like, oh man, this is going to be the game of games.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, you're like, no way. Come on, really? Because, you know, wasn't it supposed to be on Super? It supposed to be on the, like, Nintendo? And
yes.
And then you just keep seeing screenshots and interviews like, oh yeah, no, everything is, it's all really legit.
Yeah.
And so, once you buy it on the, and if, like, you know, you're caught up with the hype and you buy it the day of its release and you play the game, you know, you're fully in.
Yep.
I mean, what is there left to say about Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah. I mean,
any other forum, can say about this game, it had its sense of realism with, like, the real life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it also mixes in some future stuff with, like, Shinra and like how the districts were in Midgard, and
I mean,
and
yeah,
it was just,
and you got entire world. You got to think the opening of that game, you're part of a terrorist organization, like, planting bombs, like, you're bombing a city. That's what you open the game with, is you are a part of a terrorist faction. So. Mm-hmm. Once again, heavy stuff. Like, you could do the real life parallels, and I mean, it's there's a lot going on. And I mean, we could fill up 3 hours of me telling stories growing up about Final Fantasy VII, because I mean, I will say, like, and here's a big shout out to Hext from No Quarter. Like, whenever he started college, you know, he came to Oklahoma, he started college, and I lived down the road from him. I went to another college, but we decided one day, we're like, you know what, man, let's do a speed run. Let's see how fast we can beat Final Fantasy VII. Yeah, dude, let's just skip class. Let's, you know, and it's funny. Yeah. I don't think I've ever said this on a podcast, but so we make these plans. We're like, yeah, man, yeah, fuck class. We're not going to go to class. Let's go home. Let's get some junk. Let's get some energy drinks. Because we both play this game so many times. Let's do this. You know what I mean? Let's go. So we get to the elevator of... So in the game, near the end of the first disc, you actually go up the Shinra Tower. So you go up, and you're about to fight Rufus. You're about to fight the helicopter, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just because we ate all of our food too fast and all of our energy drink stuff. We had it too quick. But we fucking crashed out. So we both fell asleep like 8 hours in, but we left the game on. So we both fell asleep, and we fell asleep hard. It wasn't a ha-ha, we fell asleep for 10 minutes. We fell asleep for about 10 and a half hours. So then we wake up, like, we had a full night's sleep, felt refreshed. We see the game still on, and we're like, oh shit. So then we go to the save point, and, like, a place where it would take us normally 6 hours to get to, it took us something like 17 and a half hours. And I was like, this is the worst speed run that's ever happened. Ever. And God, but I even remember, big shout out to one of my good friends from way back in the day, from like middle school. His name was Dale. Oh, wow. He was my next door neighbor, and he got Final Fantasy VII for Christmas. And I would go over to his house early before we had to get the bus to school. And I'm serious, man. I don't wake up early for shit. I would wake up at like 5:45 in the morning to go over to his house, and we had a notebook, and we would draw maps of the places we were at. So like if we were in Nebelheim or we were at Cosmo Canyon or something, we were drawing top-down maps of the places, being like, okay, well, here's a treasure chest, and then we went over here and there was a potion, and we went over the, like, we were crazy. We were absolutely crazy. But we did that until we beat the game. I mean, I have so many stories growing up about Final Fantasy VII. There was one time that I think I was on disc 2, near the end of disc 2, and I was at my house, and we were doing a yard sale. And I wouldn't go outside to help with the yard sale because I was supposed to like help clean up and stuff. And like my mom was pissed, right? So at the time, I didn't have a memory card. Like I was just but my mom was upset, right? Because I wasn't helping out. So she comes in the room and unplugs the PlayStation.
Oh man! Oh no,
dude! I was like. Freaking out.
I'm gonna run away.
I was on the verge. I would have never been seen again.
I'm gonna take my favorite toy.
I'm gonna leave. Yeah, I'm gonna take this. I'm gonna wrap up the cables and I'm gonna leave. I don't need any of you. Yeah, man. There's so many stories, but it is the pivotal game. It is the one that afterwards all others were graded on. It reinvented the scale. Like people are gonna say that the game's overhyped. I still think it deserves every bit of hype it's ever gotten. It changed the landscape of video games in North America. It opened the gate for Japanese role playing games. It got Final Fantasy on the map. There were games released before and people liked them, but Final Fantasy VII was the juggernaut. It was the one.
Yeah.
You can think Final Fantasy, VII for Final Fantasy VIII, IX, X, XI, XII, XIII. Without VII, none of it would happen. And it's the game. It is the game to beat all games in regards to Japanese role-playing games coming to America.
Yeah.
There's no better one. I mean, I think,
like I said before, you would have to just be in that during that time as it was coming out.
Yeah.
So like when people like think like it's overhyped and all that stuff, I would have to wonder or ask like, were you playing it back in that time?
Right.
Same way as like us, or were you playing it way later down the line where it was all said and done, everybody knows what's happened, and then you know, you're like, oh, you know, I got to check it out, see what's going on. And then you play it and then the expectations were too much.
Right? Yeah, right. Or other games since then. Basically, afterwards, every game copied Final Fantasy VII. So if you've played other games, you're going to go to Final Fantasy VII and be like, yeah, this feels pretty familiar. Yeah, because it invented the genre as we know it.
Yeah.
It's the game. I sincerely think, like, and genuinely, and I've thought about this before, you know, for like Comilog, and if I was going to do a top 10 video games of all time type list, I mean, Final Fantasy VII.
How could you not put VII?
And not only that, if it's not number one, it's number two. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a big deal. That is the game, man. Like, it's almost not fair. The only other game on the list that I would put in that same caliber is Chrono Trigger. And I love me Star Ocean 2. I love Breath of Fire 3. I love Xenogears. I love Suikoden 2. But to me, if I were to pick these brackets, your grand final would be Chrono Trigger versus Final Fantasy VII. And I don't think I could ever make a decision.
Yeah.
Like it's just a fucking tie. I don't that care. Like fun. Who? How can you find two perfect things and have them compete? You know, I mean, and the game hasn't aged as well. Final Fantasy VII hasn't aged as well.
Oh yeah,
you know, of course. It's slow. It's slower. Actually,
But actually, the reaction or the input is faster. Of course, if from what you tell me about Persona, but it's faster.
Yes.
For Final Fantasy, like going to the menus and hitting the attacks, and it's yes. pretty almost on point.
Yeah, right? It's snippy. Like it's pretty quick. Yeah, chaining materia. Like setting up your party stuff. I mean, yeah, it's all quick. Saves, load times aren't too bad.
Yeah. Moving is slow, yeah, because
you're right
with its engine and the graphics and all that stuff. But
yeah,
anything else like the battle and the menus, and it's all fast.
Yeah, it's all real quick. And I would even recommend. I mean, they have it on Steam now. They have it on PS3, PS4. Play those.
Yeah,
like. Yeah. Great releases. I have the Steam version. It's funny, and this is kind of a breaking scoop, but I was planning on this summer actually redoing and restarting my Final Fantasy VII Let's Play. Because whenever I first started it, I had just started learning how to use video capture. So everything I was doing was 480p. But now I want to do that bad boy with a nice mic. I want to do it at 1080. I want to do it right. Like I want to.
And there's also mods where you can update those, you know, those models and stuff.
Yeah.
Like either like Advent Children looking models or like you know, they're the same usual clothes that they have, but like you know, just up to date them.
Yeah.
You can definitely do that.
Yeah, I do that. And then what I was actually thinking about doing, and one of the best mods for Final Fantasy VII on Steam is the PC version came with a MIDI soundtrack. You know, MIDI. And there's a mod to put the PlayStation 1 sound files back in the game. So like I was thinking of doing just the PlayStation 1 mod and then having the kind of sharper graphics, but with the same original stuff. That way it could almost be like a perfect archive of how I remember Final Fantasy VII being. You know what I mean?
You also need to have a Winamp.
Yeah, a Winamp skin.
Winamp Final Fantasy style skin. You need to have that.
So good. Oh my god.
It's gonna use all of your resources.
Yeah, it will eat all 16 gigs of my RAM.
Yeah.
Oh, ridiculous. But yeah, I mean Final Fantasy VII's the game. It's
no question for me. I mean, of course, because how I was brought up.
It's our pick. Final Fantasy VII for me. So that means going into the coin flip, it was the first to three wins it. Final Fantasy VII already has two.
Two.
And Final Fantasy VII in this this coin flip, with Final Fantasy VII will be heads, Persona will be tails. Let's see how this goes. Let me turn this back on. Okay, now we got the coin flip up. And once again, everybody, please check out the YouTube archive if you want to see the live clicky, just to make sure we're doing this legit. Just very fair. Okay, so we've agreed that Final Fantasy VII is heads and Persona is tails. All right, so here we go. Roll number one.
Yeah.
Goes to heads.
Okay.
It's a done deal.
Yeah.
That's a done deal.
That's it. It won.
That's very anticlimactic. That's like the Bray Wyatt finish. We just did a Bray Wyatt finish here live on the show. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's what you got.
That's right, man. Ladies and gentlemen. Final Fantasy VII wins it, man. Clean
that
sweep.
That took longer. I mean, that took faster than me having to log in. I just realized I had to log back in. I was like, oh, crap. I need to log in so I can put the result. And then you're
there. Let's bring this
there
up. There it is. You got this. Final Fantasy VII. Congratulations. That's the bracket. So overall bracket, it is done. Our JRPG Battle Royale has come to a close. Congratulations to the victor of Final Fantasy VII. I'm a-okay with that result.
Yeah, no, I'm good with that.
I mean,
if all of my other games didn't go through, Final Fantasy VII is a good choice to go through.
So,
I mean, you know, if it wasn't to the, it switched that scenario, if Persona actually won, I'm like shocked. Only because, of course, I keep saying never played it, but you know, it has its fans. But if it like won like a 3-0 coin flip, I'd have been going nuts. Like, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
Congratulations.
Demon Magic. Sure. Like, Demon Magic would have been part of it. Like, legit. Those kids with the Demon Magic would have, that's, it's a thing possessed. And then I'd have to buy Persona 5 right away just to make sure that some evil deity doesn't, like, look down on me. I mean, and I'll be buying Persona 5 anyway. And so, once again, congratulations. Yeah. Final Fantasy VII, I would argue, one of the greatest games of all time. So I'm pretty happy with that result. And plus a 3-0, just a wrecking ball. Great job. Well played. GG.
Congratulations, Final Fantasy VII.
Congrats. So... There is the two things I actually want to talk about before we head out. Number one, I am recording a new West versus Backlog.
Oh, yeah, man.
I already have 35 gigabytes of footage.
Okay.
So that's a lot of footage.
Yeah, man.
I think, Marco, you're going to freak out when you see the game. I think you're genuinely going to be stoked to see. I have an idea because it's a game and a series. Well, it's a standalone game, but it's a game and a longer lexicon of video game entries of this series that I can correlate back to, like, my growing up with a Sega Genesis and playing a version of this game. And I'm going to put old footage of that game, of the old one, and talk about how these games are similar. And so it's going to be good. It's going to mix some retro. It's going to bring in some, it's going to bring in a lot of cool, cool kind of tips and tricks type knowledge and
tips and tricks,
some old school cheat code central type stuff like that. This is going to be straight up late '90s. Like throwback footage.
Game like, pro scores.
Yeah, man. Like, we're going to get that vibe. And I'm going to talk about that. And because I think it's a critical part of this game. Whenever you see it, I think you're going to be like, oh, man. Because then once you see the main game that I'm doing for the West versus Backlog, I think you're going to know exactly what I mean by older versions of it. And you're going to be like, oh, my God, he's not going to talk about it, is he? Oh, he's going to do it.
Okay, cool. Like, I'm excited. Don't tell me off air either. I want to be surprised.
I will not tell anyone. I'm going to be super happy because my editing skills for video editing are way better. Like, I got some good ideas. Like, I'm excited about this one. I was like, you know what? This is a game that I've been meaning to kind of check out. And once I started playing, I was like, this reminds me of another game. So we'll kind of throw that correlation in there. But so working on that. Cool. And then also, this year so far has been nuts for video games.
Oh,
It's been stupid. Like, I can't keep up with how many good games are coming out. I can't keep up.
I'm trying.
Because, okay, so we got Persona 5,
mm-hmm.
Zelda Breath of the Wild,
yep.
Yakuza 0,
yep.
Nier Automata.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other ones that I saw that are freaking me out right now? Oh, yeah, so I'm playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which is kind of like Battle Royale, kind of DayZ sort of stuff. Okay. That game's early access, but it's real freaking fun. Essentially, the only game out of those I need to actually two games I need to actually purchase still are Persona 5 and Zelda.
Okay,
I'll be playing all those. That very easily, those five games I just listed could be my top five of 2017.
Game of the year, yes.
Like legit, every single one of them. Because for all intents and purposes, every person that's played all of those has been like, these are all stellar. And I was like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a bad one. Like, I can skip one of these.
Right.
Come on. Oh, but dude, video games. Video games.
Why do you have it so rough?
I know. It's just a hard life. It reminds me, there's this commercial about California, about like tourism visit California.
Oh, yeah. Come visit all those commercials.
Yeah, all those commercials. And one of them is like, you know, it's not all fun and games in California. Yeah. There's a lot of struggle. And then it says there's a lot of struggle and some guy's trying to open this beautiful wine bottle, but he can't get a good grip on it. And he's like, and I was like, that's how I feel right now. I feel like the yuppiest, like these video games are so good. I just don't have time for any of them.
First world problems.
Oh, things are too good. Things shouldn't ever be this good. Yeah. Like what a shitty human being I am.
When there's a Pepsi commercial, that's
Jesus Christ. That fucking Pepsi commercial. Protests are the cool thing, right? All those kids like protesting.
Wait, you mean to tell me a Pepsi would have ended all these protests?
Let's get the white girl. Give those cops a Pepsi. That's really, we're on the pulse of America.
Right. Yep. Oh man.
Oh, the supermodel? Yeah, I bet she can.
Yeah.
She knows what it's like to struggle.
Yeah.
Fuck.
off topic, but like I've been listening to Keep It 100 and they talk about politics in some of their episodes. And they say like with Donald Trump, President Trump, that he is basically his whole campaign was just him doing promos.
Pretty much.
That's all it is. It's just him doing promos. Not even going forward with it. But like he won the people over with it, with these promos. And now he's just like, no, I'm not exactly doing all that. Maybe, but I'm not. Right. And I'm like, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah.
And then he gave like weird nicknames to people.
Yeah.
During the campaign. Yeah. Like Marco Rubio was Lil Marco.
Yeah. And it's like, wow. Yeah, you got what you got needed from your WWE.
That's right, yeah.
Appearance.
From getting Stone Cold stunned.
Getting stunned. And you learn from the best.
You learn how to grift from professional carnies. So well done.
Yeah. Right.
Unbelievable. Oh, so. But that I think will be our time this week. Hey, it's a normal episode, an hour and 22 minutes. Pretty good stuff. But yeah, that is episode number 22 of Brethren Around. I have been your host, Mr. Wes Gardner. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/commiedahobo. That's KAMIDAHOBO. Also, www.commiedahobo.com for all of your needs in regards to archives and old episodes. And hey, you can see this live bracket that we have up for the 32 game battle royale that we just finished up. Leave some comments, all that good stuff. Anything you need, brethren around wise, is always at commiedahobo.com. And of course, you have Mr. Marco Flores. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, of course.
And you can hit him up. twitter.com/MarcoPolo177 and also twitter.com/NerdInTheBay. And go check out Nerd in the Bay. There's some good mobile game stuff going up. There's some...
I had a little mini Power Ranger week, so I was checking out all the Power Ranger type games.
Very good. Good stuff. Yeah. But that is our time, guys. We will be back next week for another rousing rendition. And guys, trust me, next week you don't want to miss it because we got some game recommendations. All sorts of stuff. We've been planning this for a few weeks now, so you'll definitely want to check in on that one. But hey, of course, thanks to our partners over there at Audible for hooking us up and hooking you up with a free audiobook if you go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. And hey, that's our time. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace, guys.